In this 19th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, we have recorded for us an incident or a story in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is recorded in all of the Gospels. Now, it is an important story because we'll notice that the Lord has given to us both in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Quite often, other stories are just mentioned in perhaps two or three of the Gospels, but seldom the four. And so what we have to do is this. Not everything about this incident is given in any particular Gospel, so therefore we have to glean in the feel of all the Gospels and seek to gain the picture that is given to us for us to study this morning. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is on his last journey. He's on that journey from Jericho, and he makes his way to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, he will die as our substitute, die in the sinner's room instead. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he set his face as a flint to go unto Jerusalem. And yet the Lord Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him there. And yet nothing would deter the Savior from going to Jerusalem and going to the cross, because for that purpose he came. To die the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. As I said, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what would happen at Jerusalem. And then the Bible says, look in verse number 28 of chapter 19. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is going before his disciples. They were walking an unknown pathway. But the Lord just knew what lay before them. And the Savior went before them. We read in the book of Deuteronomy this morning in chapter 31 how that whenever Moses was 120 years of age and he came to the end of his journey here on earth and he was giving those last words to the children of Israel before they would go in to take and conquer the land of promise, that he himself would not go into, only see. But we find he told the children of Israel, he said, the Lord goeth before thee. He says, the Lord shall be with thee, and the Lord shall go before thee. And then he turns to Joshua, the man that was going to lead the children of Israel, and he tells him the same thing. He says, listen, Joshua, he said, you're going to go into the land. I'm not able, because God says that I'm not to go into the land. But you're going in and you're going to take the children of Israel. But the Lord goeth with thee, and the Lord goeth before thee. In this year that you and I have entered, friend, there's not one of us know what the future holds for us. But how wonderful it is that whenever you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God you know that he's going with you, and you thank God you know he's going before you. He's not only walking with you, but my, he opens up the way before you. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. The psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. And no matter what life holds for us, remember, the Lord goes before us. And the Lord is going with us every step of the way. I often wonder how the unsaved face a day, not knowing what that day is going to hold for them. But they have no anchor. They have no Savior. They have no hope. But thank God those who are in Christ Jesus have that blessed assurance that the Lord goeth before them. And that's what it says in verse 28. He went before. So therefore, keep your eyes on him. In other words, when he goes before, you follow him. Isn't that what he said to the disciples? He said, follow me.
No, you don't go in front of him. You don't try to go ahead of him. My, whenever we try to take things into our own hands, don't we make a mess of it? Do you remember Abram was childless and Sarah? And they so wanted a child. And God had promised that he would make of them a great nation. And they said, but listen, but we have no child. And Sarah was old and Abram was old. And how's it going to happen? So they decided to take it into their hands. Friend, read the story. What heartache. What needless heartache and heartbreak that they brought. Because they decided to go before and not follow. So I say to you this morning, as you face the future, as this congregation, listen, go with the Lord. Let the Lord go before you. Let the Lord open up the way. And let the Lord indeed direct you and guide you, even when it comes to the choosing of a pastor for this congregation. Let the Lord do the leading. Let not man try to decide for himself. But friend, seek the Lord. Seek his face, and he'll go before. Now, what you notice, first of all, notice the wisdom here. From verse number 29, it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was come nigh to Bethphage and to Bethlehem, or to Bethany, at the mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him thither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Now I want you to notice something in those verses. Do you notice that God, the Lord Jesus, knew every detail? He said, whenever you go into it, he says, there at the entering, ye shall find a colt. And he says, you'll find that the colt's tied. And you'll find that no one has ever sat upon this colt before. He says, loose him and bring him to me. And then he told him something else. He says, if any man ask you, why do you do this? He gave them the answer. He knew exactly what the men would say. And thank God he knew the answer as well. Because nothing takes the Savior by surprise. That's something to bless your heart, friend. That the one you're trusting in will not be surprised by the future. Doesn't be surprised by what the journey holds, because the Savior knew. You know what he knew? He knew every detail. He knew it all. And you study the Word of God for yourself, friend. And you'll find that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus knew what his Pharisee enemies were thinking. He knew their very thoughts. Matthew 12:25. In John chapter 6 and verse 64, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. Jesus' betrayal did not take the Savior by surprise. He said, listen, he says, I knew from the beginning one of you is a devil. He knew all. Do you remember whenever in John chapter 21, verse 17, Peter acknowledged, he said this. He says, thou knowest all things. Do you remember when they came to the Lord Jesus and they looked for the tribute money? And what did the Lord Jesus tell to one of his disciples? To go to the river and to the sea and to catch a fish. And in one of those fishes, listen, not in them all, but in one of them, there was a coin. How did the Savior know that? He's Master. He's Lord. He knew the very fish that would be pulled out. And he knew in the fish's mouth there was a coin. He says, that's the tribute, both for me and for thee. He knew it all. Do you remember Nathanael? Philip went and got Nathanael. And he brought him to Jesus. And do you remember what Jesus said to Nathanael? He says, before he called you, I saw thee under the fig tree. The Lord knew where Nathanael was. He said, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. That was the testimony of Christ. Why? Because he knew it all. And friend, listen this morning. That's a blessing to our heart, but it's a solemn reality to our hearts as well. The blessing is that there's nothing we face that the Lord doesn't know and is not able to help us to meet. But it is also true that he knows what's in your heart today. He knows your very thoughts, as well as your actions. Do you remember what he said to the church in Revelation chapter 2? He says, I know thy works. I know all about you. Thou, God, seest me. And thou knowest me altogether. Now, we are living on uncertain days, friend. But I want to tell you this. Nothing that's happening in this world today. There's a lot of worry about what's happening in Ukraine and about Russia. And what's happening in China and different parts in North Korea, different parts of the world. And people's afraid. Let me tell you. God has already given us the end of the story. He's already written it. And thank God, in Christ and with Christ, we win. We're on the victory side. Child of God, listen, instead of whenever the word of God says, and whenever you see these things come to pass, and whenever the disciples asked the Savior concerning the signs of the time, and then he said this, and when you see these things come to pass, what did he say then? Look down. Be depressed. Be discouraged. Be downhearted. No, he didn't say any of those things. You know what he said? Look up. Look up. Why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. O child of God, we have a blessed hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We're in solid ground today. In Christ Jesus. There's the wisdom. But then secondly, notice the word. Because notice the Lord Jesus Christ said to them in verse 30. He said, go. He sent two of his disciples, the end of verse 29, saying, go ye into the village over against you. Now, friend, that was not only a commission. But you know what God was giving them? God was giving them a wonderful opportunity for service. You see this new year? I know things are not as we'd love them to be. I know that a lot of people are downhearted and discouraged and maybe even disgruntled about all the situations about the COVID and all the restrictions and all the rest of it. Let me tell you, in every situation that God gives us, friend, there's an opportunity. There's not an excuse to do nothing. There's not an excuse to lie back and say, well, there's nothing I can do. No, God says to two of his disciples, he says, go into that village. And God was giving those two disciples an opportunity. Now listen, the Lord could have done it without them, but he did it with them. Do you ever read the story of Noah? And I remember reading the story of Noah as a little boy. And I thought about Noah getting all of those animals, two by two and two by two, and bringing them into the ark. And I often thought to myself, how did Noah or Mrs. Noah, or how did the family go and gather those animals and get them just two by two of every clean and every unclean, just exactly as God had instructed them to do? How did they do it? Let me give you the answer, friend. They had nothing to do with it. Do you know how they came into the ark? The Lord brought them. Do you see when the animals came into the ark? Noah was already in the ark. Just let me show you that, just in case you don't believe me. Turn to the book of Genesis. Because sometimes there's very disbelieving of believers, you know. In the book of Genesis. And it tells us in chapter 7. Go to chapter 7. And look at verse number 7. Genesis 7, verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there came in unto Noah, into the ark, even the very creepies. The wee creepers came in, and they came exactly at God's command. It wasn't Noah brought them in. It was God brought them in. And friend, that ought to encourage you today and give you a blessed encouragement in the midst of situations that perhaps you can't understand what's happening. Say, God, help me to see the opportunities. Help me to grasp the opportunities. Instead of being like the children of Israel in the wilderness, disgruntled in the wilderness, help me to take the opportunities. And the Lord Jesus said to, it says, two of his disciples. Now notice he didn't give their names. No names mentioned. And the reason for that is simply this. The names of the servants was not that mattered. It was a service. It was a service. You see, it's not the workers, it's the work. And if you and I want to do a work and we want to draw attention to ourselves, then truthfully, friend, that work will fall on the ground. You know why? Because it's about us. And when it's about us, it's not about him. And our service is to be about him. We would see Jesus. He told them where to go, but he sent them with a promise that they would find the colt. And he says, bring them to me. And you see, when you're standing on the promises of God, friend, even when I can't see the journey, when I have a promise of God, what more do I need? We sing the hymn, standing on the promises of Christ, our King. I'm standing on the promises of God. Now they faced opposition or obstacles. Notice in verse number 33 it says, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? Yes, they faced obstacles. And you and I in the work of God, friend, at times we will face obstacles. And our faith will be tested. And our faith will be tried. But if your faith's not able to be tried, friend, it's not able to be trusted. Here we find indeed The Lord Jesus had prepared every step of the way. And you see, whenever we're asked the question, it's important that we have the answer. That's what it says way back in 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter in the chapter number 3 and verse number 15. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And the answer was, the Lord hath need of him. And that was all they had to say. Why? Because the Savior was in sovereign control that day. Oh, we sing the hymn, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Do you really believe that, friend? That you're worshiping a sovereign, an almighty God. And then thirdly, quickly, notice the wonder. Because whenever they got there, they found the colt. And they found it just exactly where Jesus had told them. And the colt was tied, as the Savior had said. And it was a colt that no man had ever sat upon. Yes, every single detail was exact. The Savior knew the colt was, and all about it. Why? Why a colt? You ever ask that question? Why a colt? Why not a horse? It's a colt. A colt of an ass. And the answer is very simple. 500 years before this, we find that Zechariah the prophet had prophesied. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9. The Holy Spirit had prophesied exactly as it is given. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9. And this is what it says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. In other words, what happened that day was the fulfillment of prophecy. And that's what's happening today, friend. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. And what's happening in this wide world today has not taken God by surprise, because it simply is the fulfillment of what he has already said would happen in the last days. Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Read the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, friend, and you'll see the very marks and signs. Read the book of Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 24, and you'll find exactly, my friend, the very signs of the times that you and I are living in today, because it's been prophesied in the Word of God. Yes, the colt was tied. It was of the age to be serviceable, but it had never been used in service. Let me ask you this. Are you serving the Lord today? I don't care what age you are. Have you a burden to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? He was a colt, but it lacked freedom. It was tied. You remember whenever Lazarus came out of the tomb and he was wrapped in the death clothes? And what did Jesus say to the disciples? Listen and let him go. He needed liberty. And to be honest, there are many of God's children are not enjoying the liberty and the freedom of the gospel that Jesus Christ purchased for us upon the cross of Calvary. Because the word of God tells us he has washed us from our sins. And the word washed there, now unto him who has washed us from our sins in his own blood. It means loosed. We're liberty. But never man had sat upon this coat. Maybe there's someone today and you're living a life that's wasted. You're not serving the Lord. And yet you're the age to serve him. You have the ability to serve him. But you're just not serving him. But I asked you, why not a horse? Well, that would not have been the fulfillment of prophecy. Because it says away back there that he would come, he was the just one, lowly and riding upon an ass. You see, a horse was an animal for war. But the lowly colt or ass was linked with a purpose of peace. You'll find whenever Solomon, on the day of his inauguration as king, he rode upon an ass. David was known for his wars. But in Solomon's time, it was a time of peace. You see, the horse was considered the animal of nobility. But the master was the one lowly riding upon an ass. Do you remember? Foxes of holes, the bird of the air of nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Do you remember he borrowed a tomb to be buried in? To cross the Sea of Galilee, he borrowed a boat to come on that triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. He borrowed an ass. But thank God they were given to him. Tell me, will you let the Lord have you today? Will you say, Lord, if you want to use me, here am I. Use me. Something else. This colt had never been sat upon by anyone. Now, a colt at best, or an ass, is a stubborn thing. It's a very stubborn animal. You can hardly turn it. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, he sat upon that ass and he rode into Jerusalem upon that ass. It was under his control, though it had never been sat upon before. Friend, don't be surprised at that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, stood one day on a boat. And he said to the winds and the waves, peace, be still. And immediately, there was a great calm. You see his master? And I thank God, the one that I'm trusting in today, is Lord of all. He's God in control. There's a wee verse, turn with me to keep your hand there, but turn to the book of Isaiah. Just a little thought. Because many people, God's people, are going through hard times. Whether in mind, or in heart, or in circumstances. In Isaiah chapter 41, in verse 10, mark this verse, friend. Keep it with you. For the journey, child of God. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You have nothing to fear, friend, because the Lord says, I'm with you. I am with thee. And then he says, be not dismayed. Even when you don't understand the road, even when you don't understand the journey that God's leading you. And I know there are God's people today, and they say to me, preacher, I just don't understand why. Why does the Lord allow me circumstances in my life? He says, listen, be not dismayed, child of God, because I am thy God. You know what that means? I'm in control. And the God that's with you is the God that's in control of every wind and every wave. Just as he was in control of that colt that day. And then he says this, I'll strengthen thee. I will help thee. He says, I will uphold thee. And notice, as I will, I will. I will. Not I might. As I will. And I say as I face tomorrow, oh God, whatever faces me, I need strength. Lord, I need you to help me. And God, I need you to uphold me. And he says, my child, I will. Let me tell you, you laid your head down on the pillow last night to fall asleep, didn't you? Child of God in the stormy waters of life. Come on. Lay your head down on that pillow. Place your head on the pillow of God's promise. Because he can't fail. Not fail. Listen. People were standing. There was a crowd of people on the Mount of Olives that day. And they took their coats and they put the coats upon this colt that had never been sat upon. All was standing there tied. Never had experienced freedom before. And now it's in the midst of this crowd of people. Doesn't know what's going on. And they throw their coats upon them. And then they take the palm leaves. And they start to wave the palm leaves. And then the Bible says they started to shout. Hosanna in the highest. All of this going on, friend. Listen. The colt never made a wrong move. The Savior rode triumphant. In Jerusalem. No man could have done that. You see, the palm branches were important too. Because palm branches, Leviticus 23 verse 40, were symbols of triumph. And you know, many people in the crowd took those palm branches. They were usually carried in processions which were attended by kings or victorious generals on public occasions. And now they're waving them before a Savior. And the Savior rode down that mountain. Triumphant. And then very quickly, go back to the chapter again because time's away and I know we're going to have to finish now. And it says, verse 38, say, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said, on Master, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, get them to keep quiet. What the Lord said, I tell you, if these were to hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. Listen, The Pharisees weren't worried about anything. If the people had been praising them, they would have loved it. But they were praising the Saviour. And they hated that. Boy, the old enemy hates you praising the Lord. Child of God. You know what God needs to give us again? And I remember way back in the early days, there was something about the free church meetings. There was a spirit of praise. There was a spirit of joy in our midst. You know what the Bible says? The joy of the Lord is your strength. May God give us back our joy. Make us a joyful people. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Is that you? Somebody met you down the street tomorrow? Would they know you're happy in the Lord? Met a boy one day and I says, well, brother, how are you?
Miserable as usual, thank God.
Not so many God's people are like that. Where's your joy? Where's your joy? The children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. For the way is growing brighter, souls are on the wing, we're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God, hallelujah. Here were the old whiners of the Pharisees. Tell them to keep quiet. Boy, the devil wants you to keep quiet about the Savior. Doesn't want you to praise the Lord. Doesn't want you to rejoice in the Lord. Doesn't want you to be glad in the Lord. The Bible says be glad in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, what? Rejoice. Let's get back to the Word of God, friend. And then finally, yes, the welcome. The people, they wave their palm leaves. Nothing would stop them praising. For Jesus says, if they were to hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. But before I finish, let me say this. Before that day concluded, look at verse 41. And when Jesus was come near, he beheld the city. And he wept over it. His heart was breaking. The Savior shed his tears that day over that city. Why? For he said, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would have gathered her brood under her wing? But he said, you would not. Tell me, if the Savior was to come in person to Coleraine, people would say he would be welcomed, would he? You see, men today are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I asked you this question, tell me. Have you welcomed the Savior into your heart? Are you saved? Secure? Satisfied? In Christ? If not, I beg you in God's name, don't leave God's house without being sure that you too know the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou wilt bless it to our hearts. We ask of thee, our God, that whatever you send us to do, help us to do it. Help us to do it with all our hearts, just as you sent those disciples, and they went. They went. And they found it exactly as you said. And they brought the coat to Jesus. Help us to go out and bring others to the Savior. We pray in Jesus' precious name.